Hi everyone, my name is Alex. I'm a compulsive overeater. It's been a while since I've shared my story, so if I'm stumbling through this, bear with me. I have in the past shared it at meetings before, so you know, hopefully the memory of the chain of events will kick in. So what I was like before OA. So growing up, you know, normal household, loving mom and dad, still married to this day, one brother, you know, there was no abuse, there was no trauma, there was nothing. So for a long time, you know, I thought about this program and I was like, yeah, I don't really think that's for me. But somehow, you know, I still have this thing with food. So, you know, sugar, and it took this program to open my eyes to the fact that I have an unhealthy relationship with sugar. I think, well, I have trouble saying like I'm a sugar addict. I probably should, because I need to be reminded of that fact that I have done unspeakable things in the name of getting that next bite. I remember one time my son and I were done food shopping and we came out to the parking lot and there was, you know, this wrapped thing, one of those things that you can buy at the checkout on the ground. And I picked it up and I took it home and I ate it. And my son was horrified. He was like, how could you eat that? I'm like, what? The wrapper was still good. Terrible, 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 terrible. So yeah, growing up, you know, I guess kind of got the message that food is love. You know, volume was never really my issue. I think it was mostly sugar. So, you know, as an adult over time, you know, three kids, the pounds just piled on, you know, and I did weigh and pay for a number of years, ended up chasing the same 5 pounds around the scale. You know, occasionally got, I remember at one point I got to, you know, a mile marker, 25 pounds off, you know, but of course it came all back on and it brought friends. So, when I, back in 2005, I had started a new job and, I think it was shortly thereafter that I met someone who was in program and I didn't know what program was. So I always used to say, you know, I was in OA before I even knew I was in OA. Because there were a few people at work who said, you know, hey, why don't we all walk on our lunch hour? And, you know, it started off with like 8 people and then it was 5 people and then it dwindled down. It was just the two of us. So, you know, as we would talk and walk on our lunch hour, you know, he was sort of feeding me bits of program again before I even really knew what it was. You know, and around that time, I was having an affair, I always say. You know, we would meet in the lunchroom 3 o'clock every day when no one was around. I thought it was love, but the vending machine didn't love me back. So it was when my friend gave me a copy of the Brown Book that I read those stories, and there was something in every single one of them that I identified with. And that kind of, you know, made me think, gee, maybe I have more in common, you know, with the people in this program than I think I do. So I went to my first meeting. And luckily, even through abstinence and relapse, that's the one thing that I have continued to do is go to meetings. You know, got abstinent the first time. And in the very beginning, I remember saying like, I don't, you know, this can't be abstinence. I don't believe that this is abstinence. And it wasn't, because at that point I was still had not, you know, recognized or dealt with my sugar addiction. I know when I did my food history that, you know, it was just jaw dropping that I came up with a list of had to be like 35 or 40 memories, I guess, if you want to call them, places we used to go, things we used to do as a family, you know, like English Town Auction or the Brunswick Square Mall, or just, you know, places that we would frequent, whether it was, you know, once a year or once a month. And every single one of them had a food attached. You tell me the place, I'll tell you what the food was, you know? Oh, when we go here, I get this. Oh, when we go there, I get that. You know, that's so that was like, you know, one of the big eye openers. So yeah, in the beginning, my earliest definition of abstinence, there was still sugar, which was why I, you know, I had the inkling like this can't be right. I can't believe this is abstinence, you know, even though I guess my first sponsor was letting me get away with it, but maybe, you know, she hadn't even recognized, my unhealthy relationship with sugar at that point. You know, changed sponsors. And I remember my second sponsor, you know, was where I really started to realize, Yeah, you know, most of the red light foods on my list, gee, they're all the high sugar items. Gee, look at that, you know. And I remember her challenging me once. You know, I went away with my husband for a 3-day weekend to upstate New York or something, and we were at a bed and breakfast. And, you know, they had served something with the syrupy stuff on top. And I, you know, turned over my food and I said, "This is what I had." And she said, "Was there sugar in that?" And I was like, "I guess so." And she's like, "So do you think you've had sugar today?" And I remember, you know, like wanting to defend it, being like, I couldn't help it. That's what they served. And it was like, you know what? You could help it. You had a choice. You could have spoken up. You could have told them, "Listen, you know, I can't have sugar. I need something else. What else can you offer me?" But you know, fighting for myself in that way was not something that I was used to. You know, I think, you know, I liked playing the victim. You know, I couldn't help it. That's what they gave me. So I eventually, you know, recognized it. And I also remember with my second sponsor, she challenged me. She was like, you know, define your sugar abstinence. What is it going to be? Is it zero sugar a day? Is it, you know, no fruit or only natural? She's like, come up with it. And I couldn't come up with a number. Finally, after like a Thursday night meeting, she grabbed me. She's like, Alex, pick a number. I was like, okay, 25. You know? So it was like no more than 25 grams of sugar, added sugars a day. And that's what I stuck with. And believe it or not, that really worked. That's when I started getting a losing abstinence. And, you know, it really was, the weight was secondary. The weight just came off. You know, it was more about, you know, program and, you know, going to meetings and reading literature and working the tools and the steps and everything. But then I relapsed, you know, and despite the fact that I was giving service, you know, and I had to go, I was the intergroup treasurer at the time, and I had to go twice actually during my tenure. I was there, did it for 4 years. I had to come back to intergroup and say, "Hey, look, you know, I've lost my abstinence again." So it has been very eye-opening these last 5 years to see, you know, how deep sugar has its hooks into me, you know, to kind of uncover all the things that all the beliefs that I have around it, all the feelings that I have around it, all the memories that are entwined with it, you know, and to try and separate and entangle those. Like I said, I have 40 days renewed abstinence. I think I still, you know, working with my sponsor, I need to go back because I don't really understand, you know, why this last relapse occurred. Or even really how long it was. I want to say like it was from January 2019 up until 40 days ago, but I couldn't tell you why. I don't know what happened. You know, what changed all of a sudden? Did I stop doing certain things, certain behaviors that were supporting me at the time? And that's, you know, what caused it. I threw in the towel. I absolutely remember. I know it was January of 2019, and I just remember I threw up my hands. I said, I give up. I can't do this anymore. I want to go back into, you know, I want my sugar back." And I did. And I stayed there for quite some time. And the pounds just came on, and I would weigh every month, and I would look at that number, and I'd be like, "Huh, look at that." Every month it was like, "Huh, look at that." You know, and it went up and up and up. And I don't know if my scale is broken or if God is just kind, because 199.8 was the highest that it got. I was like, yeah, I guarantee you there was, you know, I was up over 200 pounds, which is like a jaw-dropping number for me. I'd never seen that weight in my life. I was the heaviest I'd ever been. And then 40 days ago, well, maybe a week or two before 40 days ago, you know, I had heard someone mention in this meeting that they were a sponsor that was available, you know, like a couple times, a couple weeks in a row. And it was like, that was like my little God nudge. It's like, okay, you know what? Time to get back on the horse. You can do this. Come on. So one day I reached out and said, "Hey, you know, would you be willing to sponsor me?" And my sponsor said yes. And, you know, we've been working ever since. And knock on wood, you know, I'll be abstinent one day at a time for the rest of my life. I've heard people in this program talk about God-given abstinence. And again, there was no major event. It wasn't the big number on the scale. It wasn't the, you know, I don't have a single pair of pants that fit anymore, or, you know, I can't breathe going after, you know, up a flight of stairs. It was just, when you're ready, you're ready. And thank God, again, you know, that's what happened like 40 some odd days ago, is I was finally ready. I think that's about it. that's probably all that I have to share for tonight. So, you know, sorry it was a little short. I didn't think I would make